anything advancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Christmas week. Doug Duda, Tony Davis, and because he's still running around downtown with his shirt off, Derek Stenson and his Buffalo Bills winning yesterday. Derek, not here today. So how'd the show even start?
Shanahan's such a scum. First of all, let me say that. He ought to be fired effective immediately.
Did anything that happened this weekend surprise you the way this NFL season has went?
How do the Cowboys lose and they're right where they were before they started?
Jets lose, still have a chance. Vikings lose, Denver loses, San Diego wins. This is a team that was out of it 2 weeks ago and then makes the miraculous comeback. The Chiefs continue to find a way to lose football games by less 7 or less points.
Break it down though right now, Doug. Realistically, the number of teams that can win this Super Bowl, because I'm eliminating teams that are in the playoffs already, and it's pretty easy to eliminate.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Before you get all fired up, coming up on the show today, we did it at the start of the season, and now that the season is winding down and before we go to the bowl, we want to get you all fired up for Husker football. And so we got a little Husker roundtable coming up today on the show. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, Terry Douglas, Grand Island Independent, and Sean Callahan from HuskersIllustrated.com hopefully will all join us at the same time. But I don't know. We kind of got a rookie producer in today, and I'm a little worried about the whole deal, to be quite honest with you.
Well, we just took her off probation, then she left.
I know. Can you believe it? Stoney's back. Stoney's back in the hizzy, and how's it going?
Good.
Are you going to be able to get that four-way call going, three-way call?
Of course.
She's like a med major or something.
Smart.
She's the one that's going to be saving your life someday. So that's coming up later on in the show today. Maybe we'll give away a SunHeat Space System heater today. I don't know. Maybe. Phone lines are open. Folks, we're going to be giving those away this week. So why not a Christmas gift for yourself or someone in your family? Fire us off your emails. Give us a buzz. 1-888-455-ESPN. The Dent Popper inbox. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Damn. All of a sudden, I'm brushing my teeth this morning, and now I got a tooth that's tingling, and that's not fun. What's going on with that?
Just like in the first time you brushed your teeth.
Yeah, FO. Yeah.
Now,
figure it out, huh? You're talking NFL playoff procedure. Here's where they stand going into today. If the playoffs started today, the byes in the AFC would be Tennessee, the top seed, and Pittsburgh, the second seed. Baltimore would be at Miami, and Indianapolis would be at Denver in first weekend wild card games. In the NFC...
You said Denver. They would be in.
Yeah.
I mean, I just...
Because of that hockey right now.
Yes, well...
Of all the other things, but because of that call, because they won the first meeting between the teams. And they're 8-7, and San Diego's 7-8. So, yes, they would be in. In the NFC, the New York Giants are the top seed. Carolina right now is the number two seed, so they would receive byes. Dallas would be at Minnesota, and oh, God, would I love to have that matchup in the first round. And Atlanta, who would have thought Atlanta could make the playoffs? I don't know. You got an answer, Tony? Anybody?
You said Atlanta.
There you go.
You also said the Raiders, but I'll throw that at you.
I said Atlanta would make the playoffs. I said Oakland could be a surprise. We'll go back to the tape.
You said Atlanta will make
the Rams. Shut up. You picked the Rams.
Just trying to be fair.
Falcons would be at Arizona. It's the season of giving, and all you try to do is crush. You just hate when I'm right. Okay, so there you go. There's your teams that are in the playoffs. Teams that are still alive in the NFC, Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, and Chicago, teams that are still alive in the AFC, New England, the Jets, and San Diego.
All right. Now, you bring up the teams that are still alive. And just bring me up the AFC teams, Douglas.
Well, accordingly, it looks like you've got 9 teams.
As I look at this, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Indy, only 3 teams have a remote chance of winning, period. There's 3 teams left in the
AFC. You
don't
like New England?
No.
New England doesn't have a chance.
I would say no. Not with a rookie quarterback. I don't think they have a chance. And that's why I throw out Atlanta too.
Huh? Tom Brady on line 3. Yeah, a rookie can't win the Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger line 4. Yeah, a rookie can't win the Super Bowl.
Just saying. I don't think this is a year, especially with the teams as they're playing the toughness of these other teams. I've got 3 teams that can win the Super Bowl in the AFC. I've only got 2 teams that have a remote chance of winning the Super Bowl in the NFC. And they played last night. There's only 2 teams in the NFC. There's a mental toughness it takes to advance throughout the playoffs. Tony Romo don't have it. We saw that Saturday night. We put all the greats in the Cowboy Ring of Honor, 100X players. And he can't perform in front of that. We got to look for a new quarterback. Dallas fans, right now. He's not the quarterback of the future. How do you throw over 5 yards over wide open people's heads?
Tony Romo or Tavarius Jackson?
I don't want either. They've got to look for a new quarterback.
Tony, there's only so many out there. Who do you want?
There's only about...
You want Sam Bradford?
Yeah.
Tim Tebow?
They're winners.
Oh, Jesus.
Where'd Tony Romo win?
Here's the Husker fan again. The greatest guy is the guy on the other side. The grass is always greener on the other side. You would take Sam Bradford over Tony Romo right now. Turn in your Cowboy stuff. Of course, you don't wear it on game day anyway, so what's the point? It's insane.
They've got to have a toughness. Tony Romo has no toughness. There's no competitive fire in him, or we haven't saw it yet.
You want to know who has no competitive fire? It's Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler.
How long have I said that?
Jay Cutler. Well, I don't know, 2 years, because that's all the longer he's been of any significance.
I've just never seen a quarterback that comes off the field and looks like he's spent time with a water bong for 3 hours.
Jay Cutler.
Just a blank stare, dumb look on your face. No emotion either.
What if San Diego gets in?
Very dangerous team. I still can't believe Phillip Rivers. The most touchdowns in the NFL, the only passer rating over 100 in the NFL. He's not going to the Pro Bowl. Brett Favre is. Riddle me that. I don't get it.
Oh, brother. Okay. All right. So, the Giants in Carolina, the Colts, the Titans, the Steelers. Nobody can win the Super Bowl but those 3. 5.
Those 5.
Email from Tom Coughlin. Really? 2007 New York Giants.
I'm saying, did you see the toughness last night on the field?
Baltimore has no chance. Going to Dallas to win when they needed to win.
I'm throwing them out because of the rookie quarterback ones. It just does not happen that often.
All right.
Yes, there's cases. I think Flacco is a fine, fine quarterback, but I think those other teams are just a cut above.
Why are you sick again today?
You seemed fine yesterday. I'm pretty quiet. Prepubescent, I don't know.
Did you get rid of your distemper?
Just a few.
1-888-455-ESPN. Fire us off an email, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Weigh in on the hot topic of the day. Could win you a SunHeat space heater from SunHeat Systems. Oh, wow. Cold, bitterly cold this weekend. All right, so here's the, and again, I have to throw this out because the discussion comes up. Why in the world don't teams, and it happened a little bit yesterday, but it happened Saturday, 1.5 minutes to go in the game, and the Dallas Cowboys decide not to kick an onside kick. And by the way, everybody that's all of a sudden talking about how great the rushing yardage was from Baltimore, shut up. Half that came on 2 plays when Dallas is run blitzing trying to stop the clock. I mean, it's not like Baltimore ran over Dallas. They did the last 2 plays because Dallas brought everybody. Good. If you make the tackle, it's a 2-yard loss. If you don't, bye-bye, and the game's over anyway. Why don't you kick the onside kick? Now, Dallas didn't do it, and Minnesota didn't do it. And Minnesota had one more minute yesterday against the Falcons with 2:44. But basically, the only difference is stopping the clock at the two-minute warning. You would have had one more full minute to work with. And there's an argument. I understand the argument.
Argument's field position. You're going to pick up an extra 20, 30 yards.
I bring this up because I've brought it up before. If you onside kick it, you have two chances of getting the ball back. If you kick off, you have one chance of getting the ball back. If you kick off, your only hope is that it's a three and out. There's no penalties. Nothing bad happens to your team. You play three perfect downs.
The two ways you're saying is you recover the onside kick one, or you get the three and out.
Right.
Where if you kick it deep, you want to get the three and out. Okay.
Right. So what, you know, and again, if you cover the onside kick, most of the time you're not going to be in field goal position. And even if you are, it's a 50-yard field goal. Fine. That would have been just fine in the Dallas game. Let's see Baltimore attempt a 50-yard field goal, or else they run a fake up here and take care of business. But you still got to stop them three and out. So what? They punt it down to your two with a minute to go, and you have no timeouts, or you take over at your 25 with no timeouts. You know what? It's one pass play. It's one pass play against a prevent defense. I don't understand it and never will understand it. Give yourself a chance to cover the onside kick. Now, Dallas almost got a huge break by Baltimore running it and fumbling the ball, but they didn't cover it. And then Minnesota yesterday, I didn't understand. They didn't onside kick it. They kick it into the end zone, not giving your chance to maybe light somebody up. But again, you know, that's kind of a 50-50 deal. That's really not the argument here. The argument is kick the onside kick. Kick the onside kick. Give yourself a chance. In this day and age, you've got faster, stronger guys, more weird things happen off turf. I mean, you practice it, I think, almost every day. Why don't you utilize it?
You would hope you get that hop. Now, Doug, my argument would be because that 20 or 30 yards of field position, you're saying that prevent defenses, you can make that up, boom, very quickly. Which I understand that, too. I guess I just thought with three timeouts, they thought they could get the ball back in pretty good shape. And then, obviously, when you break the 78-yard run, shoots the whole theory.
1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, DougAndDaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. There is some high school hoops tonight, the Pleasanton pre-holiday tournament. I'll be over there for the Pleasanton-Bertrand games tonight. Girls at 6 and the boys at 7:45. A lot of games postponed in the area over the weekend. And, you know, if you have the updated or the rescheduled, go ahead and fire it to us here at the station. We'll let the folks know. And, of course, it helps out our scheduling of ball games when we roll around in January. Plenty of holiday tournaments going on next week. That's always fun. The five-day moratorium stretches from the 24th to the 28th. It actually falls pretty good this year for high school athletics. No practice or varsity competitions can be held over that time. I don't know if anybody would have wanted to compete in the 27th and 28th. Would have they? Or the 27th and... I guess not now. No, you wouldn't. The 27th. Why play Saturday? So that's what's coming up. A lot of holiday tournaments next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. UNK pick up a couple of wins yesterday after dropping a couple of tough ones on Saturday. The Hastings College men gave Bellevue all they wanted over the weekend but came up short. And we'll talk more about what's going on this weekend. Tri-City Storm, I guess the blizzard helped them. They only got beat once. I know, it's cruel, but you know what? They got to start figuring it out. It's not like they're losing in overtime, Tony.
No, it's a young team, and I guess this far into the season, the coaches will, you know, stand up and say, these guys aren't young anymore. They've been around the game, and they got to start stepping up and playing like it.
Well, it won't be a Merry Christmas for those guys as far as on the ice. So they'll be trying to figure out a way to get things turned around when they return to the ice for a special New Year's Eve game at the First Tier Event Center. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, it's our Husker Roundtable. Steve Sipple, Terry Douglas, Sean Callahan, all scheduled to join us to talk Husker football before they head for Jacksonville in the Gator Bowl. Back after this.
Look what the guys on the team gave me.
Well, let's try it.
A safe bet anytime.
Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio Superstation. It's the time of the year for snow, mistletoe, and stocking stuffers. But this year it's a little different. Pro Tint and Carney is offering gift certificates for complete window tinting on all passenger cars. These $100 gift certificates are in short supply and are limited to the first 50 customers. So you should probably only give them the ones on your list who have been very, very nice this year. Remember, just 50 certificates are being offered, so get yours today at Pro Tint and Carney, downtown on the Bricks. And be sure you give them to somebody nice.
Hastings Keno Sports Bar and Grill. Come on in, let the games begin.
Home of high payouts, great food, and cheap beer. Hastings Keno Sports Bar and Grill. Every sport, every team, every game, all on over 50 TVs. Enjoy DirecTV's NFL Sunday Ticket, ESPN Game Day, the NFL Network, plus all regional and local sports channels. And Hastings Keno always carries Husker football and pay-per-view, and there's never a cover charge. Hastings Keno Sports Bar and Grill. Come on in and let the games begin.
The only golf course in central Nebraska with GPS. Indian Head Golf Course puts you in the great position of savings on quality name brand golf equipment and clothing with some Pro Shop winter specials. 20% off name brand clothing from Adidas, FootJoy, Antigua, and more. Save 15% on clubs from Adams, Callaway, Cobra, Cleveland, Nike, Ping, Mizuno, and Titleist, as well as balls and tees. And nothing makes a great gift for the golfer like punch cards and membership passes. It's all now through December. Visit the Pro Shop at Indian Head Golf Course, where the fun never ends.
A recliner-refrigerator combo? There is such a thing, and you could win it in the ESPN Radio Superstation Slumberland Bowl Bash. From Slumberland of Kearney and Grand Island, Schroeder Smoked Foods, and the Tri-City Storm, log on to ESPNSuperstation.com and make your pick by kickoff December 29th.
We'll see partial sun and some developing cloud cover across the area today with a slight chance for snow showers late in the day. Highs will reach about the mid to upper teens with southeast winds to 12 to 25 miles per hour. There's a slight chance for snow showers tonight as temperatures will stay steady around 10. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 7 above.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us as we get ready for the Christmas holiday season. You got all your stuff done?
I haven't done much, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have much to do, but I haven't done much either. So,
yeah,
no,
I guess. I always overshop, and I still have stuff to do. Doug and Daddy Show, hey, again, how about those Atlanta Falcons? I know my brother-in-law is in the area today, and I know he's listening, and he's actually the only, like, Falcon fan I know.
You don't come across the Atlanta Falcon fan. I'm sure he's...
You know what's also kind of funny? His son, who's now 5, has just this year picked his favorite football team.
Atlanta, or Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys, so he's kind of sad. He's kind of sad because they lost Saturday. Cody, don't worry. Cowboys coming home. Don't worry, buddy. Don't worry. We'll get him there. Just to set us up for more disappointment. At a young age, it's like being a Bears fan, I think. You know what? As I watched that game Saturday, I thought, not necessarily why am I still a Cowboy fan, because, you know, always will be. But really, what have the Cowboy fans had to cheer about in a long, long, long time? Long time.
11 years since a playoff win. I mean, I guess that would be the last time.
Arizona's going to have a home playoff game before we win a playoff, before we even play. Yeah, unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
You know what's unbelievable? Their defense, unbelievably bad.
Oh, come on. Hey, UNK's Max Frelich and Wayne State's Claire DeWilius are the Division II Nebraska Players of the Week. From Pierce, Frelich almost recorded a triple-double, so that means he didn't. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. Sunday afternoon in the win over Adams State. Hit 4 or 5 three-pointers, Grizzlies against them, shooting 66% for the year from beyond the arc. Hello. Here's another thing.
I might want to get a hand in his face, John. I don't know. Not doing anything out there, guys. Why would I get
Roper shot a lot of threes this weekend and almost went to overtime. A high-scoring affair of which Daddy is in favor of.
Yes.
A lot of points being scored in UNK basketball games, both men and women. The women 77-73 yesterday, getting a challenge. And maybe when these teams get healthy, we'll see what they're really made of. But unfortunately, there's no time in Division II basketball to get healthy.
That's exactly right.
Well, you know what? We've been promising it, and it's like Neapolitan ice cream. You want some vanilla? Oh, you get some strawberry. You get some chocolate. You shove it all into one box, and we bring you three of our favorite folks here on the Doug and Daddy Show that has always talked Huskers. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Terry Douglas from the Grand Island Independent, and Sean Callahan from HuskersIllustrated.com, who I understand just got out of the fake bake booth so he doesn't look bad on the beach in Jacksonville. Hey, good morning, guys.
Wow, hey, good morning.
With you.
Good morning. Sean's still young enough that he has to worry about it. When you get to be me and Terry's age, you don't worry about it.
Man, brother.
Donna just sends him down to center stage. That's all there is to it. Hey, we did this at the beginning of the year, and, you know, it was a great show because Tony was on vacation. But Daddy is with us here today, and we wanted to bring these three gentlemen in to talk about the Husker football season and where we're going with the Gator Bowl and some recruits coming in. So let's start right there, and then we'll get into some others because we've got a new recruit, Daddy.
You know, I want to start right there. And, I want you to go around, rate the Nebraska season, and give me just a 1 to 10 scale. What do you give it? Terry, go ahead.
All right, I guess I'll kick things off. You know, I give the season a 7. You want any explanation with that, or...?
Yeah, that's fine. We can take a little explanation with that.
I guess I think the thing that has impressed me, Nebraska exceeded my expectations for the regular season by one win. And probably the things that has impressed me is the way the coaching staff developed a game plan as a whole. You know, the defense statistically per play was only 0.2 of a yard better in what they allowed per play. They took that into mind. They shaped the offense to help out that defense. So it was kind of a team approach to the coaching staff. And then also the offensive coaching staff with their ability to adjust, decide after the Missouri game that they needed to make some tweaks and duos, you know, doing best for them. So I put a lot of props to this coaching staff for kind of rescuing the season when it, you know, easily could have went south on the heels of what happened last year.
Sip, how about you?
I give it a B+, right? You see, I'm doing a different scale.
Yeah, whatever. What the hell? Do your own thing, Steve.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talked about the ice cream thing, and you're going to get a bunch of ice cream shoved into a box. There's going to be some different things. I don't know what I'm talking about. Now listen, I'm going to say B+. Right now, it can. I mean, the season's not over, so it could go to an A if they win 9. Then I think you'd be... I say that because I think at that point you might say this team overachieved, because I don't think they have 9-win talent on defense. I think they do in some spots on offense, but even there, I think they've overachieved to a large degree. So I couldn't even, and even if they'd lose to Clemson, I'd keep it at a B+. I think the program's done a very good job.
Sean Callahan, to your thoughts.
I'll go with an 8. I was just really impressed after Nebraska lost those 3 games in a row, the way the senior class kept that locker room together. And granted, they played, I think, Iowa State and Baylor the following 2 weeks. But still, you know, they had to come out and play. And I don't know if a year ago we would have seen that from this team. And the way they stayed together and kept this season on track and kept things alive to go 5-1 and the latest coaching staff just said, you know, we've got to build this thing around our strengths, and we're going to change our offense to help out our young, struggling defense. And I think you really have to tip your hand to the coaching staff on that, because back in 2004, I think Bill Callahan very well could have done something just like that, and he didn't do that, and it cost Nebraska a chance to go to a bowl game that year when they went 5-6. And I think this staff did a nice job of making the adjustments on the fly and getting this team to a New Year's Day bowl.
Sean Callahan at HuskersIllustrated.com, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Terry Douglas at the Grand Island Independent, joining us here for a Husker Roundtable on the Doug and Daddy Show. Had a whole list of things that we could talk about, but something popped up this morning, gentlemen, and I'm not even sure that you would have a chance to have seen this as we all get on the websites, but Mitch Sherman from the Omaha World Herald, our colleague that covers the Huskers, this morning on one of their blogs, like Steve does on the Journal and everybody does at their spots, talked about a letter that went out to the major donors, and one of the things that he talked about was our football team led by Coach Bo Pelini preparing for a New Year's Day bowl game for the first time in years. Now, Mitch writes this, and I want to read this because I think it's interesting for the fans as well. Here's what Mitch says. He goes, "You mean 2 years? Remember that loss to Auburn in the Cotton Bowl January 1st, 2007? Then Mitch goes on to say, let's not act like Pelini and the Huskers revolutionized football this fall. Such short-sightedness is partly to blame for what got Nebraska into this substantial hole. The coach, his staff, and a team deserve a load of credit for an 8-win season and Gator Bowl bid. Their improvement throughout the year was encouraging. But as the good vibes flow this month, it's easy to forget the Huskers set one incredible effort from a sophomore place kicker away from a different kind of December. Even with the victory over Colorado, if Syracuse hadn't upset Notre Dame, the Huskers' likely spot in the Sun Bowl would not have generated quite the same buzz among fans or momentum in recruiting. Take the situation for what it is, Mitch says, a great opportunity at the end of a nice season. Perhaps some of this positive energy can form a base to build a team that soon contends for a Big 12 title. Next season marks the 10-year anniversary of the Huskers' last conference crown. Another of those would warrant a glowing letter from NU to the donors. Just your reaction to that. Sipple, we'll start with you.
Oh, I think he's got a point. I mean, they are only 2 years removed from the Cotton Bowl, which was a, you know, that was a pretty good team that Nebraska took down to Dallas. And about, you know, they should have beat Auburn, a very good Auburn team. And, you know, they played Oklahoma very tough in the Big 12 title game. So I see where Mitch is coming from. Where I don't agree with him, though, is, you know, the one, I guess it's not so much I disagree with him. I just don't like the tone when you're discussing that Colorado game. It's almost like people like to use that as a negative. I just don't see they were in position. You know, Nebraska put itself in position to win and then got a huge kick. I mean, I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, everybody likes to kind of be use that as a kind of a harbinger of doom. Like, if you know, look, if you wouldn't have lucked out, they'd be you'd be singing a lot different tune. Well, there's probably an element of truth to that, but to me, the point is moot because the kid did kick it through the uprights, and Nebraska won the game. So I don't know. I get a little irritated with that mindset of, you know, if it wouldn't have happened, this is what we would have gotten.
Sean, your thoughts?
I'm going to give Mitch a little hard time here because there was a guy that was telling me I was crazy in November saying Nebraska had a shot to go to the Gator Bowl, and those guys were giving me a hard time when I was saying that it was a possibility. But, you know, I think he makes some good points. I think a lot of people want to forget about that 2016, but as Sipple said, that was a great team that went down to the Cotton Bowl and was that close really from being in a BCS bowl game and took Texas right down to the wire that season. And this team right now is a far as good as that team went. I think we all know that. Bill Pelini, they will get better. And I think the future, you know, if they win this game in the Super Bowl, you know, it's a great opportunity to really have a chance to win the North next year. I think Missouri is a team that's down. Kansas obviously will bring a lot back, but I think Nebraska, with all the redshirt players and what they have coming, if they can get the win in the Cotton Bowl, they're going to be right up there with a chance to win the North and potentially be favored with Kansas as the top two.
Terry, your thoughts?
You know, I guess the thing that comes to mind, another colleague of ours, Mike Babcock, likes to always point out, and Mike's been around for a long time as a wise guy. He says that, you know, fans and media, especially when it comes to Nebraska and all the passion that's involved, tend to have a little bit of revisionist history, you know, looking back on what's happened. And I'm sure that I've probably been guilty of that. You know, as much as people may want to say it right now, the 4 years of Bill Callahan was not all bad. And that's you know, part of the thing I think that's pointed out there is there, as Sip said, that was a pretty good team that went to the Cotton Bowl. And, you know, even in 2007, before Nebraska lined up to play USC, I think there's a lot of us that thought maybe they had something really special going on. And, you know, on from my point of view, it was kind of a little bit begrudgingly because, you know, I was kind of a appreciated old school Nebraska. I liked the way that they always had did things. And you know, I was about ready to, you know, give this team, you know, props, and that Bill Callahan had changed the offense around and totally changed the culture. And then, obviously, you know, things went south quickly. But, to blanketly say that the Bill Callahan era was a total disaster in totality for 4 years is wrong, because you've seen this year what this offense, you know, and Sean Watson obviously gets the credit for doing what he's did with it this year. You know, but a lot of what's happened with this offense, the ability to convert on third down and and to have a lethal offense in the passing game and add to the running game, you know, a lot of that could be traced back to the transition, because as much as I liked option football and you know, the things that came with it from the Osborne and Solich era, you know, they did make some possible improvements there.
Guys, I guess I'm going to skip over the bowl game, because a year ago when we didn't go to a bowl, much was made about the lack of practice time to get people ready for spring football, thus get ready for the fall. Who has been developed during the spring or during these extra practices and acclimated and will see significant playing time, I guess, heading into next year? Are there names emerging from practice that people have stepped up?
Sean, why don't you take that?
Well, I guess you know, you look at it right now, they've had 10 practices since the Colorado game. And, you know, you hear a lot about these redshirt guys, particularly. I think Ricky Henry on the offensive line is someone you're going to see make a run for a starting job. Kyrie Cooper is a wide receiver I think you're going to see have a shot of playing next year. On defense, I know they're really high on the safeties, P.J. Smith and Courtney Osborne. John Leverson's a great cornerback that's shown potential for the future. Really, all three freshman linebackers, Will Compton, Sean Fisher, Alonzo Whaley, have done some good things. Cameron Meredith at defensive end, and then Baker Steinkuhler, defensive tackle. I mean, they have got a lot of guys just sitting there in the cupboards waiting to come out next year. And it was interesting. Bo, at the Big Red Breakfast on Friday, talked about all the redshirt guys, and he said, actually, if I would have done it over, I probably would have played a few more because they really could have used a lot of those guys, particularly on special teams. He said their kickoff coverage team really lacked this year because they didn't have enough quality linebackers to put on that unit. Oftentimes, he said there were times they didn't have linebackers at all on the kickoff team, and you need a few of those guys, and that's where a Fisher or a Compton or a Whaley might have helped on some of those kickoff breakdowns that we saw this year. But definitely they're pretty excited about this class with 50 redshirt players or more when you count that walk-on group. I mean, there's no team in the country that has even close to that amount of redshirted players on a team this year.
Steve Sipple, along with Terry Douglas and Sean Callahan, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, always gracious with their time. I want to get to the picture with the Gator Bowl still to go, and you guys kind of touched on it on our opening comment. Right now, what's the one thing, good, bad, program changing, whatever it was, on, off the field, what's the one thing that sticks with you this first season under Bo Pelini, whether it was with the coach or whether it was a game, or what's the one thing right now as you're flying to Jacksonville, you're thinking, you know, this was the key moment of the season? We'll start with you, Sip.
I don't know if I have a key moment. I just like to change an attitude on defense. What I expected is, well, I think what everybody expected actually did transpire, and that is that the defense reflected the head coach's persona, which is a hard-edged, tough, very rugged mentality. They take you right to the edge sometimes, and sometimes they went over the edge, which is fine at times. And they, I think they did a good job, I'm referring to the personal foul type issues, of corralling that as the season went on. But that's the thing that will always stand out to me about this season, is we in that regard, we got what we expected, a defense, a big effort, hard-nosed defense that plays with a very razor-sharp edge.
Terry, how about for you?
You know, I think, like Sip, and there's a kind of just a general impression, it's maybe not one game, one moment. It's the fact that you didn't see the quitting. You know, in recent years, especially last year, you know, I saw teams give up and give up. I mean, you know, obviously the games were lost, but you don't quit. And it seems like you just saw that, you know, a year ago. This year, in talking to, you know, Todd Peterson from Grand Island Central Catholic and Tyler Wertman, those guys told me that their only goal that they had for this season was for this team to play every game all the way through and not quit and you know, to not be embarrassed about their effort. And I think they achieved that in you know, playing hard in some of those games like Oklahoma and Missouri where they were blown out, but you know, blown out but not totally embarrassed, and I think that was a big thing.
Sean, I guess as we head towards the Gator Bowl, there seems to be so much steam leading up in the recruiting that's going on right now. Can you fill us in on the latest news?
Well, you know, they just have a couple of spots left. Jason Ankara committed yesterday. I'm sure you guys have talked about a program. Very talented defensive end, 6'4", 250. out of Maryland, same high school that John Papuchis went to. So coincidence that he played a big hand in getting him to Nebraska. You know, Chris Omigi is a wide receiver they're looking at real closely. They would like to close out with a big 6'5" kid out of Texas. Kind of reminds the coaching staff, to my understanding, of Desmond Briscoe of Kansas. So that's a guy they would like to close out with. But really, not much left to do. I mean, you look at the weather right now we're experiencing, and I think Bo's saying, you know what, I'm glad we got all our official visits out of the way, because you'd hate to bring in a think if you had to bring in a kid this weekend. I mean, this typically in the old Frank Solich years, Tom Osborne years, the weekend before Christmas was always the weekend they brought a lot of guys in and got them committed before Christmas. Well, Nebraska was smart enough, and they've changed that since Bill Callahan. They want to bring the guys in for the season, and that's how Nebraska got a kid like Jason Anker. The home game weekend is the best selling point for this program, and it's not bringing a kid to Lincoln when it's 0 degrees and the stadium's empty. And they've realized that, and I think that's helped them. This recruiting class right now sits number 22 in the country, number 4 in the Big 12. They have a chance, I think, to maybe move up to number 3, but they're right there with Texas and Oklahoma and Texas A&M as the top 4 classes in the Big 12 conference.
Okay, guys, I'm going to pass over the Gator Bowl, but, and we'll get to that in a minute. I want just to give me the name of the kid that is a starting quarterback late in August next year. Sean?
Man, I guess the safe money's Patrick Witt, but the wild card's obviously Zach Lee. Maybe you might see a Cody Green come in and have a role, but I think you got to put your safe money right now on Pat Witt.
What do you think, Sip?
I like the term safe money. this time, given the situation.
Yeah.
But now listen, I'm like Sean. I like Patrick Witt. And Patrick Witt, and the term safe money, you can take that a step further in that I think he'll manage the game very well. And so what I'm saying is he'll be safe. He's probably the safe choice. I don't think Patrick Witt's going to make a lot of mistakes. I think he'll get the ball to the right people. I think he'll manage the huddle. I think he'll get the team in the right plays and just manage things the best. I don't know that he'll be a huge playmaker, but, you know, they got to find some guys to make some plays, and I think they got a running back. They'll probably have to find a receiver or so. But I like Witt. I'd put my money on Witt.
Terry, as a guy that likes to cover Fauner Park, you've been on some long shots before. What do you think?
Well, I was going to say, are you really going to ask the guy who predicted that Joe Daly would finish out his career as a quarterback who the quarterback's going to be? I mean, come on, guys.
No. Hey, guys, let's go to the Gator Bowl before we obviously let you get out of here. Steve Sippel, Terry Douglas, Sean Callahan. Give me, you know, a 30-second analysis of the Gator Bowl. Everybody's talking about Clemson's defense. But obviously, I think we had Coach Dabo Swinney on the show last week, and I thought it was very interesting, his point, which is dead on. Nebraska's offense seems to be the good thing against Clemson's defense, but the other is getting better. Clemson's offense and Nebraska's defense seem to get better. So we'll start with you, Terry. Quick analysis of the game and give us a prediction.
I picked Nebraska early on by a field goal. I'm feeling a little squeamish about that pick, just looking at, as more I look into it, about Clemson with the defense. Like you said, Nebraska's offense and Clemson's defense is strength on strength. You know, if they can lock up Nebraska's offense, that puts a lot of stress on a Nebraska defense that has been somewhat protected. So if Nebraska can't move the ball and continue to eat clock like they have the last half of the season, or actually, you know, since the Texas Tech game, I think there could be some trouble. But I'll still stick with Nebraska by a field goal.
How about you, Sip?
Tough game that probably goes to the final few possessions. I like Nebraska to eke one out. I just think it's going to be a hard game. I'm really looking forward to it for a lot of reasons, and maybe that's number one, is I think it's going to be a very difficult game. I don't know. I don't know how it'll work exactly. I just think it'll go to the final few possessions.
What about you, Sean?
I agree. You know, it's funny. We do a bowl survey on Yahoo and Rivals, and I think it's 52% favors Clemson. I mean, that's how close this thing is in a poll setting. And I just think it's going to come down to want, and it's going to come down to will. And Bo Pelini has this team wanting the victory. I think they've worked as hard or went as hard as any team in the country over the bowl month, having practices all 3 weeks, taking a few days off for Christmas. I like the senior leadership, the resiliency this team's shown. It's going to be a lot like that Auburn game. Clemson, in fact, resembles Auburn, a team Nebraska played in that Cotton Bowl. Just not a flashy offense, but they definitely have some good playmakers on that offense at running back like Auburn did, and then also their defense. I mean, this will probably be as good of a defense Nebraska has faced this year. It's going to test the arm strength of Joe Gans because they're going to force him to get balls through the window, and you just wonder how he's going to handle that. And I think the offensive line of Clemson is an area Nebraska can attack. That they've underachieved as an offensive unit, Clemson, this year. And what scares you is all the talent they have and if they're going to break it out here against Nebraska in this Gator Bowl.
Last question, we'll let you guys get out of here. It's kind of a two-parter. I want your Oklahoma-Florida pick, but we'll broaden it out to the Big 12. The South got all the eyes. Once Missouri was out of it, all the eyes were on the South. We asked you the one maybe story that stuck out with Nebraska this year. What's the one thing you'll take from this Big 12 season? And then give me your Oklahoma-Florida prediction. Sean, we'll start with you.
You know, the thing I'll take from the Big 12 is I mean, they've definitely closed the gap on the SEC, and I think they may be the best league in all of college football now, and it's not going anywhere anytime soon with guys like Bradford and McCoy coming back. But I think the North's for the taking. I mean, that's the beauty of this for Nebraska. You know, Missouri is going to fall off dramatically, I think, next year. They lost their offensive coordinator. They lost their quarterback. They're going to lose probably their best wide receiver in Jeremy Maclin, and Coffin's gone to the pros. So Nebraska's still in a position where they could put themselves in a consistent position to win the North if Bo Pelini gets this thing on track and builds this program back up. As for the national championship game, I'm going to go Oklahoma. I think if these two teams played the week after those SEC Big 12 title games, Oklahoma would have won this game by 10 or more points. But because of the long layoff, I think it will be a close game, but I think Oklahoma's offense is too hard to stop, even without DeMarco Murray. I think that a Duke kid and obviously Griffin or the other running back or they have on Oklahoma, those two guys are going to be good enough still to run the ball.
How about you, Sip?
I can't even remember the question. No, I can remember. What stood out for me about the Big 12 was Oklahoma's offense, the most prolific offense in – you know, since really Army in 1905 in terms of scoring points.
Beno Cook on the show today. Unbelievable.
Right. They went over 700. And you got to go back to the early part of the 1900s to find a team that's done it. Score 700 points in a season. I mean, it's an offense that, you know, you talk about Oklahoma's offense in the same breath as those great Nebraska offenses in 95 and 83. Just the one, you know, you talk about Oklahoma's offense being one of the best of all time, if not the best. That's what I'll remember. Now, it's funny though. I'll pick Florida. I'm taking Florida. I think the Murray injury is big. I think the DeMarcus Granger injury is sort of big, not huge. But I'm hearing rumblings about Lodeholt too not being eligible for this game. So you're taking too many bodies out of there, Florida. I like that Florida team. I mean, that's a tough team. I think they have a little edge in defense, although, I mean, they have a huge edge statistically defensively. I'm not sure they're as good as that. There's that edge is as big as people think because Oklahoma will hit you, and they just happen to play in a tough offensive conference. But I do think Florida is a little better defensively, just as good offensively. Florida gets the edge.
TD, you're the tiebreaker.
Being the Fauner Park guy, I'm going to go one better. I'm going to go Florida lay the three.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Looking at this game, I perceive Florida doing something similar to what Nebraska did at Texas Tech. They're going to try to take that offense out of play, and I think that Florida definitely, with Tebow and some of the weapons they have, has the capability of doing that, of keeping Sam Bradford sitting on the sideline. Also, there's a lot of injuries, you know, to the linebacker spot of that Oklahoma defense. And, of course, you got the Heisman jinx on Sam Bradford. So I'm going to go with Florida there. As far as the Big 12 goes, just kind of playing off what Sip said, just the litany of offenses. I mean, when you can have a guy like Joe Gans put up the numbers that he did for Nebraska this year and be considered an afterthought in the all-conference voting as, you know, maybe the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the league, That's just amazing. So continuation of that, I'm going to be really interested to see how these Big 12 offenses fare against teams from other conferences and bowl games.
Guys, thanks so much for the time. Obviously, we could talk a lot longer with you. We won't hold you up any longer. We appreciate the time you give us today and throughout the year. Want you, all three of you, to have a very, very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, guys.
Enjoy Jacksonville, guys. Bring Daddy back a thong.
All right, I'm
going to the tanning booth.
See you,
I'm
guys.
I'm not bringing my Speedo down, by the way, guys. Sorry.
That's disgusting.
Guys, take care. Thanks so much. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Terry Douglas, all joining us here. Of course, Terry from the Grand Island Independent, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Sean Callahan, HuskersIllustrated.com. That's one of those that you can sit around all night long over some Dr. Pepper at a championship game and have a conversation with. Your thoughts and more, 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Back after this.
There they are, two dirty boys.
We had nothing to do with it. It was all their idea.
Now your tablecloth is stained, and how?
More dirty deeds done dirt cheap when the Doug and Danny Show returns on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
MVP quarterback Brett Favre for Wrangler.
I'm comfortable in jeans that are tough.
Ready at 47, son.
I'm comfortable in Wrangler. Real comfortable.
Wrangler 5-star premium denim jeans. Built tough. Built comfortable. Satisfaction guaranteed. Pick up a pair of Wrangler 5-star premium denim jeans. Comfortable on you. Comfortable on your wallet. Available at Target.
Wrangler. Real comfortable jeans.
Right now, TomTom is making it easier to give the gift of smart, simple GPS navigation. Pick up a TomTom today and you'll save up to $100, which means that instead of another lame gift like a fancy cologne, you can give the easy-to-use GPS that's smarter than any other. It gets you there faster, and unlike cologne, it won't announce your arrival quite so boldly. So save up to $100 and go with the perfect holiday gift. TomTom. Go confidently.
People are talking about the Doug and Danny blog at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's all good.
I'm surprised to hear that because that is new information.
You bet. The Doug and Danny blog is all about insightful commentary and learned opinions from our dynamic duo.
Yep, can't they talk about
certain controversial issues, pretty much anything they want to talk about.
And of course, you got to talk back.
That story was completely inappropriate.
The Doug and Danny blog on ESPNSuperstation.com. Let them know what you think.
Tonight, it's an NFC North Division battle at Soldier Field when the Bears play host to the Packers. Hi, everybody. This is Boomer Esiason of Westwood One. Join Ian Eagle and me live from the Windy City for the season finale of Monday Night Football. Chicago needs a win to help their playoff push, and Green Bay would love nothing better than to spoil their postseason plans. The Packers, the Bears. If it's Monday Night Football, it's right here.
Catch it tonight on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Christmas is a time which brings family and friends closer together through sharing and celebration. We do these things in the loving spirit of Jesus Christ, for He is the reason. May the love of the Lord be with you. A holiday wish from Babel Kitchen and Bath. Good cheer, good luck, good health. May your Christmas be filled with the best of everything for you and yours, leaving memories to treasure. Happy holidays from Aurora Co-op, with a location near you.
Adrian Peterson, what a piece of poo. I just said that during the break, and you liked it. Hey, 1-888-455-ESPN. You can email us, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Glad to have you along with us on the program today. We will have programs Tuesday and Wednesday, and I guess Friday, a best-of segment. And on that best-of, we will replay the interview with Clemson coach Dabo Sweeney.
We also hear the 12 Days of Christmas going back a couple times here.
I thought we could play it today, but we didn't. We talked to the boys a little longer, but that's. I hope you enjoyed that. What do you think, Iowa State as a new football coach coming from Auburn?
You know, what's the guy's name?
Paul Rhodes.
Paul Rhodes.
Former Auburn and Pitt defensive coordinator, one-time Iowa State defensive coach. But that was back in the late 90s, I believe.
Is that the best guy available? They seem to go defensive-wise with Chizik. I mean, he was on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, is that what the athletic department's saying, that that's still our focus? And
I don't know. But
I don't understand that.
It didn't take him long to find him.
Offensive side of the Big 12, I don't understand that. But whatever they want to do.
There you go. So a new football coach there at Iowa State. And so the turnover not as big in the Big 12 as it's been the past couple of years. Hey, a lot of things going on the Doug and Daddy Show. We actually need to fire off another break here because of the extended segment we had.
We'll tell you about the Bull Bonanza.
Yeah, the Bull Bonanza. How'd you do in your picks this weekend?
Well, let me see. We got picks over there.
Did you figure those up, Stace?
I did.
Hey, we got to go to Johnny Casino. Stace figured those up for us. How'd we do? Stupid Montana. Sioux Falls won the national championship. I know I missed that one.
Tell me. Is that yours?
Did the caller win?
No.
Oh, okay.
You tied with the caller, and had it gone to a tiebreaker, the caller would have won that.
But we were last.
But I believe Derek saved you guys. He went 6-4. Daddy went 4-6.
You were the caller. And
you,
yep.
You went 3-7.
And I even had the Falcons, right? I had Atlanta.
You did.
Oh, my God. Bob, at least you got a $25 gift card at Johnny Casino's. Daddy, let's look at your picks. Kansas City, wrong. Denver, wrong. Washington, was that right?
Yes, and a money line selection. So, really, yes, I went 1-2, but we got you a little bit of that back.
On the money line, that's right. Hey, we need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we will do that in just a second. Might have someone we're going to take on the air here at 1-888-455-ESPN. Let's go to the phone lines as Gary is standing by. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
What's going on?
Not too much. Just want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Enjoy your show. And I was wondering if Daddy watched all the Arizona game, the college football game.
BYU Arizona? No, I did not.
And your favorite buddy was playing on there, dropping balls, fumbling, by the name of Grigsby. I just thought I'd add that in.
Gary, thanks so much. Have a happy holiday. Appreciate
you
the call.
You too, man.
Let's take a break here, Stace, as we need to take one more and wrap up the show. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I'll be back in a moment.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding you. I wish I were.
Colin Coward, host of The Herd. Here's the problem with trying to meet clients and colleagues in person. If you drive, there's gas, wasted time in traffic. If you fly, who's buying the ticket? Getting up early, going through security. All for what? A two-hour meeting? That's why I recommend GoToMeeting.com. You can do more and travel less. With GoToMeeting.com, you can host an online meeting right from your computer. Here's how it works. Everybody logs on to GoToMeeting.com during a conference call. They can instantly see your computer desktop on their computer screen. How cool is that? It's like meeting in person, but less expensive and less time-consuming. You can get more done in less time without the hassle of driving or flying. And my listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the orange Try It Free button. Use the promo code Colin. That's GoToMeeting.com. Click on the orange Try It Free button. Promo code Colin.
It's the time of the year for snow, mistletoe, and stocking stuffers. But this year it's a little different. Pro Tint and Carney is offering gift certificates for complete window tinting on all passenger cars. These $100 gift certificates are in short supply and are limited to the first 50 customers. So you should probably only give them the ones on your list who have been very, very nice this year. Remember, just 50 certificates are being offered. So get yours today at Pro Tint and Carney, downtown on the Bricks. And be sure you give them to somebody nice.
Christmas is a wonderful time of year. The holidays bring out the best in people. The staff at Barney Insurance would like to wish you all a Merry Christmas. We'd also like to thank our customers for the opportunity to serve them for another year. Make sure to take time this season to reflect on the blessings of family, friends, and a great community to live in, and most importantly, the birth of Christ. Wishing you all the best in this Christmas season and hopes for a prosperous new year, we're Barney Insurance.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at WeatherEye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th in Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize.
Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
We'll see partial sun and some developing cloud cover across the area today with a slight chance for snow showers late in the day. Highs will reach about the mid to upper teens with southeast winds to 12 to 25 miles per hour. There's a slight chance for snow showers tonight as temperatures will stay steady around 10. I'm weather, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 7 above.
Baby, it's cold outside.
That is the truth. Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget to sign up for our Bowl Blitz at ESPNSuperstation.com. Let me give you the quick rundown. You go to ESPNSuperstation.com. If you've been a super fan, you have to re-sign up because we've got a new organization, I guess, a new website, new web page. So sign up to be a super fan. Then when you're the super fan, you click on to the earn points, and it'll take you right to the 11 football games you have to select. Click, 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 click 11 times. You're done. You're in. A chance to win grand prizes from Slumberland, Schroeder Smoke Foods, Tri-City Storm, and so much more. Speaking of the Storm, their game Saturday that was blizzarded out because they couldn't get back from Fargo. As soon as they said Fargo was so bad, I went, oh, no. As if it wasn't bad enough for the kids. That will be made up January the 27th in Omaha / Council Bluffs. Daddy, real quick as we get out of here, the national championship volleyball match. Had a caller want to know whether ever be instant replay in volleyball. Could be, don't need it. What do you think?
Well, I don't, I think they get it right pretty much for the most part. I don't know how often that comes into play, but I think Nebraska number two, obviously.
I was just going to say, the final poll should come out this afternoon. If Nebraska's not ranked number two, I will not be happy. No, I mean, and they deserve to be. They beat Stanford, they split with Texas, and they're the only team that took a set, and they took two of them from Penn State. So Nebraska should and better be number two when the final poll comes out, which, my Lord, the odds on that would have been something amazing. And so great volleyball, and the attendance Saturday was well over 12,000 for that championship. So
wonderful showing, Nebraska.
Good job, Husker fans. Hey, thanks to Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Sean Callahan, HuskersIllustrated.com, and Terry Douglas, Grand Island Independent, joining us on our Husker Roundtable. More tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
We'll see you at 1460, 1550, back 23 hours from now.
The following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.